When Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of King Herod, behold, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem saying, "Where is the newborn King of the Jews? We saw his star at its rising and have come to do him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was greatly troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written through the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, since from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod called the Magi secretly and ascertained from them the time of the star's appearance. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the child. When you have found him, bring me word so that I too may go and do him homage." After the audience with the king, they set out. And behold, the star that they had seen at its rising preceded them until it came and stopped over the place where the child was. They were overjoyed at seeing the star. And on entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. They prostrated themselves and did him homage. Then they opened their treasures and offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed for their country by another route. The Gospel of the Lord. Today we celebrate the feast of the Lord's Epiphany, his manifestation to the Gentiles in the persons of the Magi coming from afar. But the Lord's Epiphany was also the manifestation of the men whom tradition has always called wise, because their true character was likewise revealed. Today, the Lord's continued Epiphany, the ongoing presence of Emmanuel, God with us, similarly leads to the epiphany of who we really are, our character, our true desires. Therefore, it's key on this day not just to mark something that happened 2,000 years ago in a land far, far away, but to learn from the response of the wise men how to become the wise men and women our culture, our country, our families so need. So today, we go on pilgrimage with the wise men to Bethlehem to learn from them invaluable lessons about how we're called to desire God and act on those desires and help accompany others on a pilgrimage to Jesus. Today, we can focus on 7 things we learned from them. This first is about seeking God. The wise men ended up in Bethlehem because of 3 factors. First was the star, the stars were incredibly important ancient. 2 millennia ago, in the deserts of the Middle East and on the seas, people didn't have GPSs like we do, or signs saying 50 miles to New York. They were dependent on the fixed stars in the sky as references for direction. They firmly believed God had made the stars this way. Whenever anything happened in the sky that was new, like the appearance of a comet or a meteor shower, or planets or stars shining more brightly, the ancients thought that it had to bear some message from God, the creator of the heavens and the earth. So they studied the heavens, because in studying the heavens, they were seeking God's message. Second factor was that outside of Israel, there were prophecies from women called Sibyls that heralded the future birth of a universal king who would be king of all. One of these Sibylline prophecies predicted that the birth of the king would be preceded by a sign in the heavens. The famous Roman historian Suetonius wrote in his Life of Vespasian, "There had spread over all the East an old and established belief that it was fated at that time for men coming from Judea to rule the world." And Tacitus wrote in his Annals, "There was a firm persuasion that at this very time the East was to grow powerful and rulers from Judea were to acquire universal empire." This was the context in which these wise men would have been looking into the heavens when they saw the star at its rising. Not only did they interpret that God was trying to communicate something to them in general, but that God was specifically heralding the birth of this newborn king in the East who would be universal. The third element is that these wise men were not just curious astrologers. They were seekers of God. And when they saw these two factors, they knew it had to impact their life. Led by the star and their simple faith in its meaning, they went on a journey to the Holy Land. It's just half a verse in sacred scripture. But we have to think about what that journey entailed. We don't know exactly how long the pilgrimage took, but the gospel gives us an indication that it wasn't brief. After Herod inquired the exact time of the appearance of the star, and then a short time later after they didn't return to him, he proceeded to kill every boy in Bethlehem under 2 years of age. It's likely that the time of their preparation and journey to get to Bethlehem took 18 to 24 months. Whether they walked or had the help of animals, we don't know. But they came. They made a journey of a year, year and a half, up to 2 years, one way, because they believed that God was speaking to them through the star. That they came to Jerusalem shouldn't surprise us. The distance between Bethlehem and Jerusalem is only 6 miles. As they were following the star, it's very likely that they would have thought that the star was coming to rest in the important capital of the Jews rather than a small village close by. Moreover, they likely deduced that the newborn king of the Jews would be the son of the present king of the Jews. So it was logical that they would want to meet King Herod. They received an audience and told Herod the story about why they had come so far to adore a child to whom God in the heavens was testifying. Herod called all his experts around him and asked where the universal king was to be born. From the book of the prophet Micah, they told him he was to be born in Bethlehem. And then something happened that we should never, ever, ever, ever miss. Only the wise men left. 6 miles. Downhill. None of the experts around Herod, who knew the scriptures inside out, were curious enough even to make the short journey. Even though the wise men who had already journeyed thousands of miles left with zeal. Herod feigned an interest in seeing the child. But we know he was only trying to deceive the Magi so that he could assassinate him. The experts seemed to have no fire to discover whether it might be true that the Messiah whom the scriptures testified to might have been born just a short distance away. That star wasn't shining just for the Magi. The Magi didn't have special ancient goggles to see what others didn't see. But they were hungry and courageous enough to leave where they were to set out and follow its light. The first thing we learn from the Magi is about the ardent search for God, about the hunger for His presence, so that when we start to see the indications of God's presence, we're willing to go out to meet Him. A vibrant faith is always characterized by a desire for God, a passion and a zeal for Him, a zeal that's found in the way we pray, the way we study sacred scripture, which gives us so much more info than the wise men ever had in a star. But are we, like them, hungry for God? Second thing the wise men show us is that the life of faith is a pilgrimage. The wise men were ready to move. Even though they must have had very good lives where they were, since they could afford a long journey and precious gifts at their arrival, they accounted being with the newborn king more important than staying where they were. They were willing to leave everything behind and make a long, arduous, difficult journey following a star. We too need to be willing to make a journey. A spiritual pilgrimage. Christian life is a pilgrimage that begins with baptism and is meant to lead to the eternal Bethlehem and Jerusalem. To be strengthened on this pilgrimage, this Exodus, this Passover, was what we prayed for at the beginning of today's Mass. Oh God, we said, who on this day revealed your only begotten Son to the nations by the guidance of a star, Grant that by your mercy, we who already know you by faith may be brought to behold the beauty of your sublime glory. We ask God to inspire us by the journey of the wise men, to be given the grace to journey to behold God with us, not in swaddling clothes lying in an ancient manger, but in the beauty of his heavenly glory. That journey for us will take far more than 18 to 24 months of preparation and walking, a lifetime. But that is the life that God has given us. And are we looking at life that way? Third, the Magi show us that this pilgrimage is not meant to be walked alone. The wise men didn't go solo. They walked together. They knew that in order to make the destination, they needed each other. But more than that, they wanted to journey together. Likewise, the Catholic pilgrimage of faith is not a do-it-yourself thing. We need the help of others in the search for God to pass through the various deserts of life. Just as the pilgrims on the Camino de Santiago in Spain, we need fellow travelers. Spouses need each other. Children need their parents. We all need our friends and spiritual siblings. Priests and parishioners need each other. The word parish in Greek means station or hostel. The types of houses that were made for pilgrims on long journeys so that they could rest there and be nourished. St. Agnes Parish. Parish is where we were born. The parishes perhaps we will attend in future years are places in which we meet fellow pilgrims on the journey of faith. Those whom the Lord wants us to accompany and to accompany us. The Church's pilgrimage is a family journey, one done in communion, trying not to leave anyone behind, but getting everyone moving. What the devil most wants to do is he wants us to think individualistically about our faith. And the Magi teach us a different and very important lesson. Fourth, the journey of the Magi shows us that we need to be guided on that journey of faith. They got to Bethlehem because they allowed themselves to be guided by the star. They were attentive and obedient to the guidance God had given them. Likewise, we all need to be led. At World Youth Day in 2005 in Cologne, Germany, where the relics of the wise men are reputedly kept, Pope Benedict spoke about the docility that all of us need. He said that the main guide we have, the main star, is Jesus, who himself is the way. And that Jesus guides us in several ways. He guides us in sacred scripture. But we need to respond with a desire to know him in the scriptures, like the wise men studied the stars. Do we know God's revelation as well as we know our own profession? As well as we know who the starting lineup is for the Giants or the Patriots? Another guide is the Church. Pope Benedict specifically encouraged all Catholics to get to know the Catechism, which documents how the Holy Spirit has guided the Church in faith since the foundation of the Church. Have we followed that star? A third guide is the saints. These are the radiant stars who show us how to respond in faith to God. They show us how to be Christian. They are the successful alpine climbers who have gotten to the summit of heaven and now not only point us to the path, but intercede for us, cheering us on to the summit. And obviously, among the saints, the greatest is the Blessed Virgin Mary. In the faith, while we don't follow astrological signs, we do follow a Stella Maris, the star of the sea, Mary herself, guiding us both through storms as well as calm waters. Fifth, the wise men show us that we have to be willing to accept God on his terms, not ours. When the wise men finally arrived and found Jesus, he must have been a Pacific Ocean apart from what they imagined him to be. They likely expected to find the newborn king in a palace, not in a stable, wrapped in royal silk, not in swaddling clothes, surrounded by courtiers, not animals and shepherds. Yet when they found him as he was, They didn't turn back. They were willing to let their categories be changed by God rather than try to squeeze God into their own categories. They obviously needed to change their ideas about power, about God, about man. In short, they had to change themselves and see that God's power is not like that of the powerful of the world, that God's ways are not as we imagine them to be or might wish them to be, that God is different. Likewise, throughout life, we must learn God's ways and how to conform our ways to His, especially when He asks us to model our life on the mystery of His self-giving love on the cross. And things don't always turn out the way we humanly might like them. Sixth, the Magi teach us about true adoration. The greatest gift they gave the Lord was not gold, frankincense, and myrrh, but themselves. St. Matthew tells us they prostrated themselves and did Him homage. Pope Benedict commented to the young people of the world 12 years ago, they had come to place themselves at the service of this king, to model their own kingship on His. That was the meaning of their act of homage, their adoration. Included in this were their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, gifts offered to a king held to be divine. Adoration has a content, he says, and it involves self-giving love. Through this act of adoration, these men from the East wished to recognize the child as their king and humbly, lovingly place their own power and potential at His full disposal. That's what we're called to do too. The same Jesus before whom they prostrated themselves comes here to 43rd Street on this altar. We're called not just to look at Jesus, not just to come and whisper a prayer before Him and then get on our way. We're called to prostrate ourselves in humble homage before Him, lay ourselves and our gifts, and at the same time as we do that, open ourselves up to receive the blessing Christ wants to give us by Himself coming here to meet us in humility so that He might lift us up and help us continue on the journey of Christian life. We come not just to punch a time card and fulfill an obligation to Jesus. We come to lay our whole life before Him. Lastly, the Magi show us how this encounter with Christ is meant to change us. St. Matthew tells us laconically at the end of the passage that the wise men returned home by another route, which the great saints of the church have always said points to far more than a detour to evade Herod. It points to the fact that they returned changed. They returned differently than they arrived, converted more and more to the new king's ways and category, to the ways of faith, to the ways of Christ-like humble love. Similarly, every time we make the journey to Mass, every time we come together with others on pilgrimage to bring Him our gifts and sacrifices, but especially the offering of our whole life in prayerful homage, we're supposed to leave changed. Changed by the word we've heard. Changed by truly praying the collects and petitions of the Mass. Changed by becoming one with the Lord from the inside out. Every Mass, it's not just a routine spiritual duty. It's meant to change our life forever and send us back different, transformed for the better, following no longer our own way, but following Jesus' own path up close. I like to say that many Catholics think that Advil has a greater power to change us than the Holy Eucharist. That if we take two Advil, we know it's going to have an impact. But sometimes we receive Jesus in such a routine way. Jesus inside of us can change us the way that He changed the Blessed Mother in Nazareth. So we celebrate the Feast of the Lord's Epiphany today, at this station on our own pilgrimage. We thank God for the gift of the lessons He teaches us through the wise men and their search for Him, about the pilgrimage of life together with others, about the need to be guided by sacred scripture, the church, and the saints, about our openness to letting God transform us and send us onward by a new and exciting path, and about how to adore Christ, His Son, in spirit and truth. We ask for each of these graces so that we too will be able to leave 43rd Street by another route and one day come to behold the beauty of God's sublime glory, glorifying and praising God forever. The Mass is Christ's continuous epiphany. But our contemporaries need us to be the wise men who show where the star of the tabernacle lamp and the altar candle still burn, pointing us to where we need to go to find Christ and enter into a life-changing communion with Him. God is calling you and me to be those wise men, the modern Melchiors, Balthazars, and Caspers of our day. And He wants to give us here all the whole help He knows we need to fulfill the mission He gives us. As we fall to our knees today before the same Lord before whom they prostrated themselves as a small, poor, vulnerable infant wrapped in cloth, God wants us, like the wise men, to discover the glory of God in the highest. Welcome to Bethlehem. Come, let us adore Him.